Thank you. If you will, before we get started, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18. Like your pastor said, my name is Daxel Wells. It's my family back there, Wendy and Lucas, just to give them a short introduction. We're missionaries to the gypsies of Albania, and we're going to go over there and preach the gospel to these people and do what God did for me. He saved me under a tent, under some good old-fashioned preaching. So we're going to go out to these people, set up tents, and preach the gospel to them for about a week at a time. Pray God save some nationals. And we're going to help raise them up so that they can plant churches within their communities, because we believe that's what God, the purpose of missions is, to raise up nationals so they can reach their own people. So we're going to go over there and just preach the gospel. We're not there to Americanize them, to give them money or wealth, but to give them the gospel. You can go over to Albania and see how poor these people are, see the poverty. None of that matters at the end of the day. It's where their soul will be in eternity. And we're going to go over there and give them Jesus. My wife is a missionary kid from Mexico. She's done this thing, so y'all pray for her, pray for us, and pray for our son. His home will be Albania, and we really covet your prayers. Please pray for us. All right, Luke chapter 18. We're going to be in verse 15. I'm going to read a few verses to you, and then we're going to pray. Verse 15, and they brought unto him also infants. This is Jesus Christ. People were coming to hear him say his parables, and that he would touch them. So here's these parents, or whoever they are, bringing their infants to Christ so that he would touch them and bless them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now, most people would stop there and preach for a while. And a lot of people get some false doctrine from this. They'll try to preach Calvinism, or they'll try to preach infant baptism. That's not what he's talking about. Right. You got to keep reading. Look what what's being compared to it. Verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these things have I kept from my youth. Could you imagine Jesus giving you instruction and you looking at him saying, yeah, I do that. If God's telling you something, obviously you're doing it wrong or something, you don't have it right. But this man said, I do that. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for the camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. If I could, for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach on the topic of the infant versus the rich man. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you bless this sermon tonight, Lord, this message. I pray that you use it to help somebody, Lord. I need to hear it more than anybody, but I pray if there's someone by the way who could get some help from your word, Lord, that you'd give it to them. Untie my tongue, untie my carnal mind, and let the Holy Ghost use me, Lord, as a vessel for this word to help somebody tonight. If they're lost, Lord, I pray that you save them to the uttermost. If there's people here who need to go to you, but they don't know how, Lord, I pray that you teach us to go like these infants and not be like this rich man, Lord, and just continue to bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to talk for a few minutes about the infant versus the rich man. I read this the other night, and I thought it was interesting that these infants, these little people who have no control of themselves, were brought to Christ, and he said, let them come. They received the blessing. This man voluntarily comes, and he's not necessarily rebuked, but the end result is he didn't get what he wanted. The infants did, but the rich man didn't. Now you might be thinking, what's the significance of this? There's a huge significance. There's some major differences. There's major things about the infant that is completely different from the rich man. They are completely opposite in a lot of ways. And everybody here can come to Christ the way that God intended by recognizing these following differences between these two found in this portion of Scripture. I want you to see, number one, their differences in earthly possessions. See, this rich man was very, very rich. How rich was he? When Christ said, hey, sell your stuff, he wanted to start crying. You know, when you're poor, people, when you're poor, you don't have a lot. That condition sets within you and you don't really care that much. In other words, I grew up poor and it was not a big deal to be poor. If I had a little bit of money that lost it, oh, well, I'm already poor. But could you imagine if, let's just say, Donald Trump lost all his money? That'd be a big deal to him. Let's say if Bill Gates lost all his money. That'd be a big deal to him. I got $5 in my pocket and I lose it. Yeah, it hurts. But it's a lot different to me than if I have so much and lose it all. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look at the difference in their wealth. This child has nothing to distract him from Christ and God. He came naked. He came with nothing. He might have had a diaper on. He might have had a shirt on. But other than that, he had no possession, no inheritance, nothing. He was completely dependent on people to take care of him. He had nothing of his own. My little boy over here, he's got plenty of things. We got a room full of toys for him that people have given us. But if you asked him right now and he could talk, the only thing he's worried about is that bottle in his hand right now. That's all he's got. That's all he cares about. That's the only concern that he has. Compare it to that rich man. He's concerned about his wealth. He was concerned about those things that surrounded him. And it was more important to him than what Christ had to say to him. So you need to ask yourself tonight, what around you is distracting you from reaching Christ? This isn't just about salvation, although it does tie into salvation. You must come as an infant. You must come as a child. Everything must be cast away for your salvation. I remember when I got saved that night. I remember sitting there. It was something I'd never experienced before. It was my soul being opened up in front of heaven. Nothing else mattered. It was like I was in a void. And it was just me and God. I didn't even see the preacher anymore. It was just me and him and no distractions. Now, if I started worrying about my car, if I started worrying about my job, if I started worrying about my wealth, if I started worrying about what people around me were thinking, my status, it would have distracted me from what God wanted me to accept. And that was the salvation of his son. Not only salvation, but what God wants you to do. These things around you, Satan uses them as snares. There's nothing wrong with having possessions. Hear me. I'm not condemning those who are rich. But Christ said it is hard for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. These things distract us. They set us aside. They bring us astray. Don't let these things that surround you, this wealth, these things that you want, distract you from what God would have for you. Not only did you their wealth, but their needs. You ever notice the less that you have, the less that you need? When I grew up, my father passed away when I was young. There was 9 children. My mother was a single mother. After he passed away, I was about 8 years old, and she worked at Walmart. Now imagine, 9 kids, 4 of us adopted. They had a big family on purpose. 9 kids, and she worked at Walmart. We were poor. We didn't have a lot of stuff. I remember sometimes she had to choose between leaving the power on and sometimes us having to skip lunch. I couldn't imagine going through that. Now looking back as an adult, I feel for her more and more and more as I realize the things that she had to go through. Now imagine this. And sometimes if we're driving down the road or something and we're in a hurry, I don't mind missing a lunch. I don't. Because it's a condition that I've grown up in. I've never had a lot. So it doesn't bother me. I don't need a lot. This rich man has a lot of needs because he has so much. Who here has ever tried to lose weight? I have. My wife and I were on a diet. We're working together. And it's not fair. And I admit this, it's not fair. I can eat so much more food than she can and lose weight. Why? Because I'm almost 60 pounds heavier than she is. My body needs more to maintain its weight. Hers needs less. So to lose weight, she has to eat much less than I do. We can go to Chick-fil-A and I can get 2 sandwiches and still be under the calories. She has to get a grilled chicken wrap, which is like 200 calories. It's just not fair, but fairness has nothing to do with it. The more that you have, the more that you need. These infants had nothing, so they didn't need anything but Christ. Beware what you pray for. Beware what you desire. Beware what you shoot for. Because the more things that surround you, the more things that you need in your life. It's like a poison. The material world will distract you so much from Christ, not because just because you want more, but it will consume your attention to keep those things. Be worried about what Christ would want with you. And not only their wealth and their needs, but I want you to see just their wants. You know what I learned about him? The only thing that he wants in life is for someone to love him. That's it. That's all he wants. We have all these toys that we buy for him, these doohickeys that make all this noise and they light up, and he's starting to get interested in it. But do you know what he loves more than anything? A bag that makes crumply noises. I can hand him these toys and he'll look at it and put it down. And I can hand him all these little gizmos and he'll look at it and put it down. But you hand him something that just makes a lot of noise. Just a crumply noise, a bag from Walmart. Now, we don't let him just sit there and play with it by himself. We watch. But he will be consumed for almost hours. His wants are simple. You want to know why it's simple? Because he's an infant and he doesn't realize what he has. He has a simple mindset. And to reach Christ, you must accept and have a simple mindset. God doesn't call the complicated and the people who think they're wise and the people who have this reputation. He calls the simple to confound the wise. He just wants someone who's obedient. He just wants someone who's going to be in awe of who he is. That's all he's consumed with. That's all he's concerned with. But these people who have so much that it's all about me, he'd have nothing to do with them. So I'm going to ask you a question, church. What earthly possessions, what things this way are distracting you from God? Not only earthly possessions, I want you to see physical ability. One of them was completely dependent on everything that he was to obtain in this life, the infant. The other guy was completely independent. He had riches, he had wealth, he was a ruler, he had servants, and he voluntarily came to Christ seeking it on his own. What's the point? What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I want you to notice these simple things about it, their ability to walk. This infant had to be brought by his mother. His mother brought him to Christ. Now, the disciples thought, well, since he didn't come, he needs to go away, don't bother him. But Christ said, you must come like this infant. What does that mean, preacher? You must be 100% dependent on God to get his attention. He doesn't want you to be distracted by what you can do. He's not concerned with what we can do. God has already seen what we can do. It's death and destruction and hellbound is what we do. He's not concerned with that. He's not concerned with Dax's ability. He's concerned with my loyalty and my love for him and my dependency on him. Every step that you take should be measured by the Lord. It should be counted by the Lord. Every time I put on my shoes and tie my shoes, it should be by the power and help of God himself and not of my own ability. Now you might be thinking, oh, that's a little too much. Well, that's the example Christ gave. He said, you must come like these infants. He can't put his shoes on. He can't put his shirt on. My wife has to make it a game to get him to put his shirt on. All right, get ready. And he gets all excited just to put his shirt on. We think of it as a burden to get up every day and do all these kind of things. But because he's an infant, because he's so dependent on his walk, on his dress, he's so dependent on someone else, that gives us a better relationship with him. It's a sad day, and people tell me all the time, as he grows up and becomes more independent, it breaks your heart. And I'm dreading that day. As soon as I became a father, I see it. And the day that he runs out of the house to pursue his own dreams, or hopefully and prayfully that he does what God calls him to do, it's going to break my heart to see him go out and be independent. God wants you to be like that infant, completely dependent on him so that he can love you and shower you with gifts and show to you exactly how much he cares for you. Not only their ability to walk, their ability to carry. One thing I've noticed about him is the brain is ready, but the body isn't. We'll stick something tiny in front of him. We have these little tubes that we keep his formula in, and it's funny to watch him try to grab it, and he knocks it over. And for the first time a few days ago, I watched him get frustrated. And it's always funny to see your child do something new. He had one toy in his other hand, and he's reaching for the tube. He dropped it. I picked it up. He reached for it again. He dropped it. I picked it up. And he reached for it again. And on the third time when he knocked it over, he took that toy in his hand and threw it on the ground. He was sick of it. Why won't that tube stay in my hand? See, his mind was ready, but his body wasn't. What do you mean, preacher? He needed someone's help to carry the things that was put in his lap. If you think that you can do the ministry and the Christian walk on your own ability and carry your own burden, you are in for a rude awakening. We are not able to do these things on our own. And we must be like those infants. Every time I open my book, I need to have shaking hands and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. It's broken. It's sinful. It's fallible. I need your help. And the only way that you can be successful in this thing, and I don't mean success by numbers, I mean success in what God wants you to do, you must do your walk as an infant. Completely depend on him to carry you, and completely depend on him to carry the things for you. You are just a willing vessel to go. Not only their ability to walk, their ability to carry, their ability to dress, everything. The infant is completely dependent on his mother for everything. He cannot do anything on his own. And that's how God wants you. If I go over to Albania and I think, oh, I'm going to do this thing on my own. I don't need to pray. I don't need to preach. I've read all the programs I need to read. I can just do what I want. You know what I'm going to end up doing? I'm going to come running back home with my tail between my legs. Right. This thing is too powerful for independent people. You don't have the ability to fight Satan. You don't have the ability to walk this Christian walk without being dependent on him. You must go as a child. So let me ask you a question. Who are you dependent on tonight? Are you dependent on your own ability? Are you dependent on what you believe and what in your own ability and what you believe about yourself? Or are you dependent wholeheartedly on God? Not only their earthly possessions, not only their physical ability, but I want you to see their mental condition. These infants, their brain is a sponge. And it's amazing. We were talking about this over at lunch, about how much they learn. They're little geniuses, like Brother Jason said. The ability to learn a language that quick and understand it blows my mind. My wife, she knows two languages. She grew up in a home that had English and Spanish, and she picked up both of them. He's going to have to pick up three of them, and I've heard success stories. As long as they're young, you can teach them as many languages as you want, and they will learn it. Their brains are little sponges. But the rich man, he was set in his ways. As you get older and older and older, your brain becomes less elastic. It doesn't want to bend. It wants to stay in his ways. And anytime you're taught something different, anytime that something's brought up against you, the older you get, the more likely you're to push away and say, no, I know that's not right. God wants you to be like an infant, a brain, a spirit, a soul that is completely malleable in his hand. I was watching a video, and I like these little scientific videos sometimes. I think it was called Smarter Every Day or something like that. And this guy was talking about riding a bicycle and how amazing it is that humans can ride a bicycle. The amount of formulas that your brain actually has to calculate to ride a bicycle is astounding, but you just learn it and you never forget it. But he tried a little experiment. He took a bicycle, and you guys who are more mechanically inclined than I am, you'll understand this better than I did, but he basically put a gear in between the handlebar. So every time he would turn left, the wheel would turn right. Every time he turned right, the wheel would turn left. He wanted to see how long it would take him to learn how to ride that bike. It took him months. Months. He would get on it for hours every single day, and he just couldn't get it. And it wasn't like he was slowly getting better. Every time he tried to take off, he'd just fall apart. There was no progress. And right before he was ready to quit and just conclude that it was impossible, his brain just snapped, and he could ride it. And he has it all on film, and he just started riding it like it was a regular bicycle. His brain just flipped a switch. Well, he thought that was neat, and he kind of left it alone for a few months. Well, then he took a trip to Italy, I believe, where they ride bikes a lot, and he jumped on a regular bike. He got on that regular bike, and all these Europeans are watching this American because he's got a film crew and stuff. He gets on that bike, falls right over. He says, oh, my goodness. Now his pride's kicking in. He says, my pride's kicking in. I can't let these Europeans think I'm a dumb American who can't even ride a bicycle. So then he just kept trying and trying and trying, and he could not ride that bike. He said he did it for about 4 hours, and it finally clicked. His brain switched back to the old way, and he could ride that bike. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Well, he thought of something else. He had a 7-year-old son who could ride a bicycle. He said, you know what? I'm going to put my son on this bicycle and see how long it takes him to learn how to ride this bike. Son got on it, and of course, he failed for the first few days. I want to say it was 4 days later. It might be a little bit longer than that. It's been a while, but it was 4 days later. He comes outside, and his son's just riding it like it's a bike. 4 days. Him, months. His son, 4 days. He said, all right, son, get on the regular bike. The most amazing thing about it is the son hopped back on the regular bike, and he automatically knew how to ride it. His brain was wired to do both, and he didn't have to switch back and forth. What's the purpose of this story, preacher? If you come as an infant, empty your mind of all the things that you think that you know, all those things that you think that you know about God and the world, and just become like an infant and a sponge and soak up what God would have for you to do and learn and study this book, he can do amazing things with you. Amazing things with you. This infant that was brought to Christ, they know nothing, but they're willing to learn. I think one of the most beautiful things is seeing a young boy get saved. The young boy got saved this morning. There are things that you can get a head start on. There are things that you can learn now that someone like me, even though I was 15, some things that you can have that I could never obtain without much harder work than you. Because there's so many things that my brain was hardwired for and my soul has been through. There are things that you could learn and God could use through you that a 40-year-old would struggle to have to do because you are more malleable in the hands of God. Don't ever take that for take advantage of this. Don't ever do that. You are special in God's eyes and you can do something amazing. All the preachers that I look up to, a lot of them anyway, every time I hear their testimony, well, I got saved at 6 years old. I'm like, my goodness, I couldn't imagine getting saved that early. I got saved at 15, and people tell me that's young, 6 years old. But from six onto wherever they are now, they consume themselves with God. That elastic brain, that soul that could be malleable in the hands of the potter, the things that they could do and learn. And you must come to God that way. He won't have it any other way. This rich man came and said, Lord, he didn't say Lord. He said, Master, good Master. What must I do? First of all, he already had this preconceived notion about things that he thought he knew. God doesn't want people who think they know things. He wants them out. He wants them gone because those people will mess things up. If I get up here and try to tell you what I believe, I'll mess it up. I'll mess you up, and I'll mess this whole thing up. And this rich man thought he could get to heaven doing what he believed in and what he thought was right. That's why he didn't receive what Christ wanted for him. And it wasn't until he sold everything, cast everything out, and followed Christ like a naked infant is that when he could realize what salvation truly was. Not only their elasticity, I want you to see their reasoning. You know the biggest problem that a Christian can make? These two words, well, these three words, well, I think, well, I believe, well, this is what I was told. See, people who have been in this thing for too long, who don't really know the Word of God, that's what you hear a lot. Well, I think. God's not interested in what you think. God's got everything figured out. He's got it. He doesn't need my input. God's not sitting up in heaven popping aspirin, trying to figure out what he's going to do about these problems, calling me on the cell phone. I am the problem 99% of the time. He doesn't need me. But most of the time you hear people say, well, I think. That's why I love new people. I love seeing new people get saved. You ever seen somebody walk in and you can tell they've never been to church in their life and they don't know what to do? All right, let's stand up and sing. Okay. Grab a hymnal. I guess that's it. I love those people. Because those people you can teach and reach. Because the only reason they're here is for God. It's the only reason. They're not here to change the church. They're not here to prove the preacher wrong. They're not here to boast about their ability and what they know. They're here to learn. Their reasoning is, I'm here to trust in God, period. We have a lady at our church, and she comes from the faith home. I want to say her name was Lucy. I love her to death. I really do. And when she first came, it's just sometimes you watch people, and you might think it's a little odd. The way they worship is a little odd. The things that they do is a little odd. Some of these ladies who come from the faith home, they'll get up and wave and stuff. But you know what preacher says? They don't bother me. You know why? They don't know anything.
Right.
And they come here with a desire to learn about God.
Yes.
They'll get it. They'll get it. Right. Be patient with them. When I was a young boy, when I got saved, I had dreadlocks at the back of my neck. I was telling the Sunday school that, I believe. And I cut them about 2 months later after getting saved. No one ever told me to. No one ever said anything to me. And I remember I was still in high school. I came home and said, Mom, I want to cut this mess out of my head. And she said, why? You love your dreadlocks? I said, I don't know. They look kind of nasty, don't they? She said, yeah, they're kind of nasty. So we cut them out. Went to church that Wednesday. And I can't remember who it was. It was an older fella. And he walked up to me and said, man, thank goodness you finally cut that mess out of your head. It was disgusting. And I looked at him. I said, why didn't anybody tell me? Why didn't you tell me to cut my hair? I'll never forget this. We wanted God to show you. We wanted the Holy Ghost to show you. We wanted to see if you obey him. You hear it from preaching, and you hear it from the Holy Ghost. And they wanted to see if I would bend to the will of God. That's what God wants from you. And the only way you can do it is to cast aside your maturity, to cast aside what you think you believe, your experiences, and just follow him. Now, I'm not saying be a babe in Christ your whole life. Eventually it's time to go to the meat. But even then, the spirit should still be that of an infant. I know nothing. It's all about him. And I want you to see number four, and I'm done. I want you to see their spiritual differences. At the end of the day, the newborn infant we all have a dead spirit within us. Ephesians talks about this. But that infant's spirit, his soul has not been tainted by this world. It's brand new. And you know, God can do that with you. I'm not saying you have to be an infant, but God can do that with you. But you must cast away all of those things. Your experiences, what you think that you know, what you've gone through, cast that all aside and focus only on God. That's what Christ meant by being born again. Everything is new. And I'm like a child who knows nothing, completely dependent on his God. When I got saved, you can never explain that experience to people. You can't. Because it did feel like I got born again. I remember when I prayed that prayer sitting back there. And then they said, anybody who trusted Christ, come up. And I came up. And I remember I went down and prayed. And someone prayed with me. When I got up, it was like I saw the world in a different way.
Right.
Like I was birthed into a different dimension.
Yeah.
I was an infant, willing to learn and follow Christ. But you know what? It took me a long time to get those old things out of me as I started to grow. To get those things that I believe, those things that I wanted, those things that distract me from Christ. Don't let anything in this world distract you from him.
Yeah.
Nothing, even yourself, because it will. The person who's in your way more than anything is yourself and your desires. And who do you think you are? Just become like an infant tonight. Get down on the altar and pray. Say, God, I don't want my mind, my experiences, who I am, my possessions, my physical ability, what I believe in myself. I don't want any of that to distract me from you. I am 100% dependent on you. If you left my life today, I would die. If you can get to that point, you could change the world. But too many of us, if God walked out of our life tomorrow, we'd probably be okay. We think we would. Ask yourself that tonight, church. If God walked away tomorrow, he won't. But if he did, how would you fare? If Wendy and I walked away from Lucas tonight, He'd die. If we just went out in the yard and laid him there, there's no way he could survive. That's how you need to be tonight. Amen?